Well, good morning once again. It's good to see all of you here in God's house. You know, we started at the very beginning of the summer talking about family life together. And I think it's been a wonderful summer, although in my opinion, it went by way too fast. Sent the boys back to Valparaiso yesterday, and I will admit that I'm going to miss them a great deal. Although after the last week, I was kind of glad to see them go, you know. Sometimes you get that way at the end of the summer. So we're going to conclude, even as we began, talking about God's family, how we are all God's children. He loved us so much that He created us, and then when we go astray, He sent His Son Jesus to pay the price of our sin, to live the life that we could not perfectly for Him. We're going to end up then talking about some of those qualities that God has given to all of His kids, regardless of age. And you can follow along on the notes as we do that. But before that, I've got three quick stories about kids. So here they are. Story number one. Little boy's going away to camp. Any of you ever been to camp? Camp's great. Love going to camp. Well, it was the very first time, so mom and dad are a little worried, a little nervous about sending their child away. So they make that phone call they always make after the first day or two, and they talk to him, and they ask him how he's doing, and they are really disappointed that he's not homesick. And so they ask, well, is anybody homesick? And he says, only those who have dogs at home, right? Ooh. We're going to have lots of dog stories this morning. Here's the second one. Little boy is in the kitchen. His dad is in the living room. He doesn't have a watch on, but wants to know what time it is. No clock there, doesn't have a cell phone. So he calls out, says, Bobby, what is the little hand on? Long pause. Little voice. A chocolate chip cookie? Yeah. All right, story number three. Family dog, his name is Belker. How many of you have pets again? Back to the dogs. Love those dogs, right? Part of the family for a very long time. Belker is an Irish wolfhound. He's about 13 years old. End of life. Very sick. They take him to the veterinarian, but the veterinarian knows that there are no more miracles for Belker. She's pulled him through many times, but not this time. Now, there's a little boy. It's Shane. He's 4 years old. He's been with Belker his entire life. He knows nothing else. And there they are. He's cradling his pet, his best friend, in his arms, and he's petting him, knowing that the end is near. And sadly, Belker passes away in Shane's arms. But the little boy has a lot of poise, a lot of confidence. And so when they begin to talk about why it is that dogs don't live as long as humans, he has the answer. He says, I know. And of course, they're all surprised. And they ask him, well, what do you think? And he says, well, you know, people are born so that they can learn to be nice to everybody and love people. But dogs are born knowing how to do that already. So they don't have to stay here nearly as long, right? Kids are amazing, aren't they? We love little kids. They are such a blessing. They are so precious. They are so honest and perceptive in a way that we as adults sometimes lose. So this morning we're going to talk about three Christian qualities that God has given to us as His children. Now we could talk about a whole bunch more, but today we're going to talk about these three. The first one is this, number one, that God has given His children, especially the little ones, a unique ability to celebrate life. To look at everything and just have this eagerness, this zest, this energy to discover all that God has given to us. As I said before, sometimes when we get a little older, some folk lose this ability. Now, I know some of you are familiar with the book by Robert Fulghum, All I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. I know Mrs. Larson's familiar with that one. You know, I never got to go to kindergarten. I don't know how I'm going to cope, right? Well, we learn lots of things when we are small children. And so in the book, Robert Fulghum, he begins at this early age asking kindergartners three questions. And later on, he goes back when they're a little older. So these are the three questions. If you were to ask a kindergarten, all of the kids, if you would ask the question, how many of you can sing, what do you suppose would happen? They'd all raise their hand, right? Well, then you ask them, well, what can you sing? Anything. Well, what if you don't know the words? Well, make them up, right? That's what kindergartners do. Well, how many of you can draw? What's the answer? All of them. Well, what can you draw? Anything. It doesn't matter. Draw a house? Okay. Draw people? Sure. Draw a dog? Yeah, it looks like a dinosaur, but still a dog, right? You can draw. How many of you can dance? Well, they just start dancing right there, you know? Just dance, right? Just like that. They all dance. Well, what about college kids? Same question. Things change, don't they? For the kindergarten, the answer is always yes. They believe everything is possible. Go to the college kids. How many of you can sing? Well, I don't sing. Never so. Maybe in the choir. How many of you can draw? Well, no. I'm an English major. Don't draw. How many of you can dance? Well, only after about three beers. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. Well, what about you? What about you? The world beats us down. The world tells us, you can't do all that stuff. You're too old. We wouldn't do that in public. We'd be too embarrassed. We wouldn't even try. It's not our niche, is it? But they put us in this little box about what we can do and what we can't do. My friends, that's not how God created us. God created us and then gives us new life, a new heart, a new spirit to revisit and to celebrate every single day all these things that God has given to us. So my friends, don't be those people. Don't sour on life. Don't give up on life. Don't give in to cynicism. Don't give in to bitterness. And don't be that crabby person. This is what it says. Once again, the words of Jesus. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And if it belongs to such as these, then we are to have those same childlike qualities that God intends for all of His children. The ability to celebrate life and the ability then also to marvel at God's blessings. Now this week, Sharon and I had a unique opportunity. We got to babysit a two-year-old. And we don't have any of those around. We're not grandparents yet. You know, I got to get the kids through college first. So we borrowed one. You know, borrow a two-year-old sometime. That will give you a little energy. Now, you can always take a nap at the end, which I did. Now, thankfully, I had Sharon there, and we had John and Andrew. They weren't at college yet, so we had backup, you know, just in case. So we had this two-year-old. Now, two-year-olds are about this tall, so different perspective, right? See things differently. And they talk differently. Now, she talked the whole time. I didn't understand hardly anything she said. But talking, just talking and talking. So she gets there, and right away, you know, you have this container everywhere you go with small children that has food in it, right? Always. Got to have in the little Cheerios, so give her a Cheerio. And she just looks at it. And the eyes get big, and she goes, and then she'll go, no, I didn't want one. I already ate. Okay. So then we got out the Legos. Andrew has more Legos than any college student I know. So if you want some, just come to our house. We'll give them away. So he's playing with her. Same thing. Looks at it. Oh, want to play? And so on and on it goes. We take her out into the yard. She goes, you know, you don't have to have a big yard for a two-year-old. I mean, everything's big for them. Now, we've got this thing at our house called dandelion. I don't like them. I try to get rid of them. A two-year-old will look at it, and she'll pick it, and she'll go, oh, isn't that wonderful, or whatever it was she said. It's marvelous. Any part of God's creation, a weed, a flower, a blade of grass, a clump of dirt, a rock. Don't eat that, by the way. It doesn't matter. The ability to marvel at God's blessing. So, a walk in the yard with a toddler would indeed be filled with, you can fill in the blanks, amazement and wonder and joy and gratitude for all that God has given, even ecstasy at a dandelion. Now compare that, if you will. Famous story, maybe you have read it, by Earl Nightingale. It's about this farmer who's in Africa. He is discontented with everything. I mean, he is tired of his farm. He's tired of his house. He's tired of his wife. He's tired of his entire existence. Because he's heard the stories about the diamonds. Farmers are finding diamonds all over Africa, and they're selling them for millions of dollars. And he thinks, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of this crummy farm and my crummy house, and I'm going to find diamonds, and I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to become rich. So he does. Sells the farm. Travels the continent. Finds exactly zero diamonds. He's more miserable than ever before. He's lost everything. Meanwhile, the new farmer, he's got a farm, bought the farm, wants to know what's on the farm, walks around, crosses a stream, and lo and behold, there in the water, red and blue and dazzling lights everywhere. And he reaches down and he picks up, I mean, it's a big rock. And it's sparkly. He takes it home. You see, he doesn't know what it is, but he knows that it could be a great conversation piece. I'll put it up on my fireplace mantle. People come by and they'll talk about it. And for years, that's what they do until finally there's someone who recognizes it, and it turns out to be one of the largest diamonds ever discovered. And not only that, there are hundreds of them in that stream. The moral's pretty clear, isn't it? We have the greatest diamonds in our own backyard, right here. Right around you this morning, in your family, in your friends, in this church. In the blessings that God has given to you, if only we would open our eyes once again in childlike wonder to appreciate all of these riches from God and all of these blessings, all of these precious gifts that are all around us. My friends, you don't have to travel the world. You don't have to change your job. You don't have to sell your house. You don't have to change your wife. Please don't do that. To discover all that God has given us. There is this verse, Ezekiel, quoting the words of our Lord, our Heavenly Father, I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessings. This is not just the prayer of a farmer, but for all of us, God's riches are all around us, if we only will open our eyes. Let's recapture this unique ability that our Father has given to all of us to celebrate life, to marvel at God's blessings. And then the last one, which is probably the most difficult, the hardest thing to do, especially as we get older, And that's the ability to trust. Certainly to trust in those who are close to us, but also to trust in our God. So when we have a really tough, difficult issue, where should we turn? Of course, to a book of wisdom, to a place of astute theology. And so we go to the comic strip. My favorite, of course, is Peanuts. You've heard that many times. So here we have Charlie Brown, Peppermint Patty. Don't you think that Charlie Brown should get a little bit more love? I mean, poor Chuck. Now, Patty, she kind of likes him. So they're sitting together, and they're talking, as they always do. And Patty asks a question. She says, Chuck, what do you think security is? Pretty deep question for 7 or 8-year-old, don't you think? And he thinks about it. And finally he says, I think that security is when, after a long trip, you can fall asleep in the back seat of mom and dad's car. And you don't have to worry about anything. Because mom and dad are in the front. And they're not only driving, but they're doing all the worrying for you. That's security. And Patty says, that's nice. Chuck, that is really nice. But then he gets serious and he says, but. Then suddenly you get old. And it all goes away and you can never get it back. And Patty, I mean, she's sad. She's shocked. She says, never? Never. And then Peppermint Patty reaches out and she says, Chuck, hold my hand. My friends, that is what our Heavenly Father has done for us. He has sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, for one purpose. He came into this life to save us. From sin and death and the devil, but also from all of our anxieties, from all of our worries, from all of this weight and burden and guilt that we put on ourselves or that the world piles on us. And each day then, as we remember our baptism, as we remember who we are as the children of God, He also tells us we're never alone. God has given us all of these wonderful people that He surrounds us with. And He is there also, even to the very end of the age. And my friends, when necessary, He holds out His hand for us. And so as we conclude this series this summer, no, we don't have to face the hard demands of life alone. We're a family. We're God's family. He's brought us all together to be here for one another. And as we begin school for a lot of you this next week, or maybe you've started already, or maybe you're anticipating sending those older children away to college, you know, maybe it's a new adventure, or maybe it's just repeating the old one again and again. But regardless of your age, regardless of your stage of life, or even if you don't have any children home anymore, when you see the school bus pull up in your neighborhood, or the children walking down the street with those backpacks, know that God is with you. God has created this church to be a place for children of all ages, so we can be together to encourage each other in the journey of life, to hold out that hand when it's needed, to pat someone on the back, to give them a hug, and to remind them that we are never alone. Our God is with us. May God grant that to you once again, for Jesus' sake. Thank you.